Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
You can wrap this one, my friend, in maroon and white. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else.
It's Wednesday night. You know what that means. This is Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Brino's down there in Studio X. He will attempt to captain this ship. I mean, it is Halloween, so, or it's close enough. So something could happen. I could just jump out of the bush, scare one of us, or you could watch a whole Mississippi State football game. That could also be equally scary. I've done it eight times this year. Been hardened by it. So if you want to get in touch with me, the C Spire text line is open to you, 601-879-4395. And of course, we are brought to you by the good folks over at Visit Vicksburg. The Vicksburg Convention and Visitors Bureau will be telling you all show long about some great stuff going on in the city of Vicksburg, my hometown. I feel like I've had this discussion three or four times already. And I know that I have, actually. You know, I had it on my post-game show on Saturday, and I had it on the Monday Thunder and Lightning podcast, and I've had it on the Monday Sports Talk Mississippi. But what the hey, let's have it again. There just isn't a path forward for Mississippi State with Coleman Hutzler. That it just doesn't exist at this point. You cannot coach a defense the way that he has this year and expect to retain your job. You just cannot. And when I look at this team and what they've done this year and what they have failed to do this year, I just don't know how you look at this team and you with any real reality, for lack of a better word, and say, yes, we want to run it back. It just can't happen. I'm going to read y'all some numbers right now. We're going to do a little stat breakdown here on the show, and we are going to go through this. So let's just go through this together. So this is for all games. This is not just SEC games. This is for all games. State's played 8 games this year. State's given up 36.4 points per game. The next worst is Florida at 23.6 points per game. So that means there's a gap of 13 points per game between the next to worst last team and the worst team. There's only a gap of 12 points per game between Florida, who's in 15th, and the top-ranked team, the Ole Miss Rebels, at 11 points per game. So the gap between 1 and 15 is less than the gap between 15 and 16. For yards per game, there's 108 yards per game gap between Florida and Mississippi State. Florida is 15th, Mississippi State is 16th. That same gap exists between 3 and 15. Again, that's Ole Miss. And it's actually a little less. They're the way the numbers work, if I took 108 yards and added it to Ole Miss, they would be down at 15th. Mississippi State has 5 sacks on the season. 5 in 8 games. The next worst team is Tennessee. They have 15. There's a gap of 10, they have 3 times as many sacks. They're 15th. I'm sorry, the numbers are warping my brain. Again, there's a 10 sack gap, right? So Tennessee is 15. 10 sacks up from them would be fifth. If they had somebody had 25, Oklahoma is fourth with 26. They have 11 more sacks than the 15th best team. Five sacks in eight games seems almost impossible. And, of course, as you might imagine, it is good for dead last in the in not only in the SEC, but in all of college football. Guys, you can't look at me with a straight face and say, yes, we want to bring this guy back for another year. Producing like this. I know State's talent is down. I know that. They don't have a ton of guys, maybe only a few, maybe only a handful, that could play, that really should be playing SEC football. But they are not this bad. They are not. They should not be the 125th, 26th defense in the country. They should not be dead last in sacks. They should not have that kind of gap between them and the next worst team. What would State's team be right now if they're just giving up 28 points per game? That would still be dead last. But they'd have at least, what, three more wins? You just can't go on like this. You can't sell recruits. You can't sell transfers that they're going to come in and, oh, if we get you, things are going to be better. No one's going to buy into that. So I don't think it's going to be during the season. I thought there was a chance that Monday they might have made a move. I thought that going into Lebby's press conference. When he talked about, you know, it's not on just one single guy, it's about everybody and everybody's got to do their job. One thing I'll give Lebby a lot of credit for is he is not going to throw anybody under the bus. You know, he takes the blame. He spreads it around to the group, but he's also at the forefront of that. He always says it starts with me. I give him full credit for that. I don't think they'll make a move until the day after the Egg Bowl at the earliest. I just don't see that happening. So if you're a Mississippi State fan who's like, hey, we want to go ahead and get him out of here, I just don't see it happening. I just don't. You know? And to be quite honest, I don't think there would be massive improvement. It might be a little better. But at the end of the day, it just kind of is what it is here. So just get through the season as best you can. It's going to be ugly. And I'll go ahead and tell you, with this game coming up Saturday, I think State will win, obviously. They're playing a team that they should beat. But anything I say about that, I mean, I said the same things about Toledo. So take that with whatever grain of salt you want to. But the fact of the matter is, I don't have any faith whatsoever that this defense is going to slow UMass down. I think State will just outscore them. Maybe they'll force a couple turnovers. 2016, that team that we all talked about in Peter Sermon's defense and how bad it was and how bad things were, they beat UMass 47-35. It could very well be like that on Saturday. Could very easily be like that. So, and if that's the case, I mean, the outcries are just going to keep getting louder and louder. And then your last three games, Tennessee, Missouri, Ole Miss. Missouri, I mean, if Brady Cook can't play, I don't know what they'll do. They'll still be able to move the football in State because you can just run it. But Tennessee and Ole Miss are going to put points on the board. And Ole Miss in that last game, I would say I hope Lane Kiffin is merciful, but I don't have any faith that he will be. I got a bad feeling on that one, guys. I got a bad feeling. Just go ahead and preparing y'all for it. So you just cannot move forward. We're looking at some tweets here, some text here from the ceasefire text line. But I don't care what kind of personnel you have. These guys on defense are SEC players, and they could be a lot better than they are. You got to hold the coach accountable. It's not near as hard to play defense than it is offense, and the offense has shown improvement. Defense is not. It's Jeremy and Columbia. If we lose to UMass, that guy better not be employed afterwards. If they lose to UMass, that might change things. That might change things. I'll give you that. You can't hire friends in college football for major positions. I don't necessarily. You got to pick the best guy. If he happens to be your friend, that's great. I'll put it that way. So, oh, that's right. Tonight, right now, I believe the number one team in the nation, the Mississippi State soccer team, is playing a makeup game against South Carolina. They've already clinched the conference championship. But that game is being played right now. We will be joined tomorrow by Coach James Armstrong, Mississippi State Soccer. He'll be on Sports Talk Mississippi tomorrow, 3:37 p.m. If you want to tune in and check that out. the lack of the talent or lack thereof is brutal. But these stats can't be overlooked. Hutzler has to go. That's just what it is, guys. You just can't put up numbers like this. I still can't get over five sacks. Ole Miss had a player this past weekend with four. One guy had four in one game, and State, in eight games, has five sacks. Here's the stat that really slayed me. Calvin Dinkins, been out since week one, right? In week one, he had a sack. He is still the second-leading sacker on the team. He hasn't played since week one, but his one sack is good for second place on this team. Guys, we can't go on like that. We just can't. All right. We're getting out of football for a little while. We're leaving that behind. When I come back, Isaac Trotter will join me. He covers college basketball nationally for 24/7 Sports. I want his thoughts on Josh Hubbard, Cam Matthews, Chris Jans, the SEC, and Bulldog basketball. We're going to do that when we come back, and we'll talk basketball after he's gone as well. This is going to be a little more hoops-heavy show. I think you guys are ready for it. I know that I am. We'll do it when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
This holiday.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
We're back here on Thunder and Lightning, Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Nothing makes fans of college football want to switch to college basketball faster than having a bad college football season. That's where Mississippi State is, and that's why I'm welcoming Isaac Trotter to the show. He covers college basketball nationally for 24/7 Sports. And Isaac, Mississippi State, you know, back-to-back NCAA tournament appearances, brings back a good core, had a great transfer portal, but not ranked in the initial top 25. I think picked 8th or 9th in the by the coaches in the SEC polls. Do you feel like this Mississippi State team may be a little bit under the radar as we begin the season?
No, that's a great point. I think in the SEC there's just so much talk about, like, oh, Cal leaves Kentucky for Arkansas, and oh, look who Kentucky hired, and Alabama, and all of these things, Auburn, all these things, and Mississippi State's just kind of slinking in the middle of the pack here, and it's a really fascinating team because I think, as we've kind of noticed in college basketball, especially in this portal cycle, there's a gap between the haves and the have-nots, and I think you could probably put Mississippi State in that haves category because this group is deep and loaded, and they're not just, you know, leaning on one dude being awesome, and that's an interesting strategy for Chris Jans. We can kind of get into, like, hey, what's the offense look like? What's the defense look like? But there's no doubt, I think, on opening night, like, I could see this staff feeling really confident in 10 or 11 guys, and not everybody in college basketball can say that.
There was that one dude being awesome last year, and that was Josh Hubbard, you know, the top freshman in the country, 17 points per game, back for his sophomore year at Mississippi State. What does he need to add to his game to go from good player to great or elite player?
Oh, it's a great question. You know, I think for me, it starts with how much can you finish at the rim? That was an area of his game that he's going to have to continue developing at. You know, his decision-making as well. I think they did a really nice job of simplifying him last year where it's like, hey, like, you're going to take a lot of threes. We're going to give you that freedom to do that. And you can get to the free throw line as well. But you were really counting on you to score, not necessarily, hey, you got to get everybody involved this year. And that's a question for me, I think, this season, because, you know, there's going to be some questions of, like, okay, are we going to play Kanye Clary together with Josh Hubbard? Like, who's the real, like, set the table point guard of this group? That's an area where he's going to might have to grow, just because that he can get Riley Kugel catch and shoot shots. He can create some of those spot up opportunities for a Claude L. Harris. Like, you can get some of those open cutting lanes for an RJ Melendez to do those 45 cuts to the rim for dunks. So his decision making as he continues to grow is going to be huge, but it's so nice, right? Knowing in the late clock operations, like, you have a guy that can go get a bucket at literally any time that he wants. And, you know, I think he's one of those type of players where you have to almost guard him from the moment he walks across half court. And that just adds a different gravity to this spacing. And he really is the head of the snake. But like I said, I feel like they've also insulated him really well with some of these other pieces, you know, in the supporting cast.
Is there a better, you know, I don't know if jack of all trades is the right word or however you want to put him, but a guy who fills his roles better than Cam Matthews in college basketball this year? He really has so much to his game. I wouldn't say he's necessarily great at anything, but he is good at almost every facet of the game.
That's a great point. No, I think when you're talking about just like those glue guys, Matthews is up there. But, you know, I think about like, you know, I think a lot of times we focus so much on offense, but I love to break it down defensively on like, hey, who's the best point of attack defenders? Who's the best versatile guards? Who's the best wing stoppers? Like, you could make a case that Cam Matthews is the best wing stopper in the country. It's him. It's Solomon Washington out of Texas A&M, who's a familiar face to a lot of SEC people. There's some others involved there, but his competitiveness, his spirit, his fight on that end is so special. So, yeah, like the connectivity that he brings offensively, his ability to offensive rebound, you know, his ability to create a little bit offensively is huge. But I think defensively, you could potentially put him in that top one percentile throughout the country, and I would feel great about him. Like, he is a legit defensive player of the year candidate in the SEC, and that award usually goes to big men who kind of rack up a ton of block shots.
With this transfer class, if you said for me to pick out an X factor, a guy who could maybe really elevate what Mississippi State becomes this year, it's Riley Kugel. I think he's the guy that, if I said pick an NBA prospect, he might be the one that I would point to. Had a good couple of years at Florida. You know, originally signed with Mississippi State out of high school, but when Ben Howland was let out of that letter of intent, ends up back here in Starkville. What's the ceiling for Kugel this year?
You know, he's an NBA player. Like, there's no doubt in my mind that happens. And I think a lot of people were like, okay, if he had gone back to the NBA after his freshman year at Florida, he could have been a first-round pick. So instead he goes back to school, and it just doesn't really go well, kind of falls out of favor. I'm kind of buying him as like a bounce back candidate here. You know, we've seen a lot of these guys where they just need a different fit and a different voice. And the different level of athleticism that he brings to the floor is really noticeable. Like, he floats in the air. Like, you see other defenders jump with him, they're coming down, and sometimes he continues to rise up. It's just he breathes different air than the rest of us. And then you kind of factor in like the shot making that you see from him as well. Like, he can go get a bucket on anybody at any time. Now, I think the challenge with it is just kind of harnessing him into, hey, what's a good shot? What's a great shot? Hey, when do we need to go like play iso ball? But when do we need to get the ball out of my hands, cut, and trust that I'm going to get it back? And then maybe most importantly, how can we weaponize you defensively? Because an athlete like that should be one of the best defenders in this league under a defensive coach like Chris Jantz. So like, those are all of like the little pieces where he has to put it together. Because I think if he does, he can pass Josh Hubbard as being the best player on this team. And that's not a slight at Josh at all. It's just a different level that Kugel can get to because of the different athlete that he has in his bag.
You know, the last 2 years for Chris Jantz, he's had one of the best big men in the SEC in Tolu Smith. A different look down low this year with Jeremy Fomina, with Michael Nwoko. I think those guys can be big defensive presences, I'll get there eventually, for Mississippi State. What can those guys bring State on the offensive end? I don't expect them to be 15, 16 point per game guys like Tolu Smith was, but can either one of them step up and be a double digit per game scorer for State?
Yeah, I like Nwoko. You know, he was a guy that had a lot of interest in the portal. He just was kind of blocked a little bit at Miami with Norchad Omier kind of getting a lot of run at the five. But he moves really well. He's a really vertical athlete. I think he's probably just a play finisher for Mississippi State right now. It's just, hey, like, loom in the dunker spot, maybe a rim runner in transition, go get offensive rebounds. I don't think there's going to be a ton of possessions where they're necessarily feeding him a bunch of post-ups like they were last year with Tolu Smith, but I think it's kind of the sign of the times right now in the portal, because big men are getting overvalued and just they're expensive to go get some of these top big men. And if you can play money ball a little bit and kind of team it up where you get a couple guys, and hey, maybe you just need Fomina to come in and just give you 15 minutes, and maybe you just need Nwoko to come in and give you 20 minutes. You don't necessarily need them to be like a Tolu Smith 2.0. You can kind of money ball your way to to 13-7 as long as they play really good defensively on that back end. So that's kind of how I envision this group. But again, like, Nwoko had a lot of people that liked him in the portal. I know there was a lot of really smart coaches that wanted him badly. So, you know, Micah Shrewsbury at Notre Dame is like one of my guys. Like, if he's going after someone on the recruiting trail, usually I know that he's a pretty good basketball player. Just like if he goes after you on defense, I know you're a pretty bad defender, right?
Yeah.
And Shrewsbury wanted Nwoko really, really badly. So that gives me a little bit of a sell that Michael Nwoko might be a guy to keep an eye on this year.
The SEC, I did an interview with Chris Jans a few weeks ago, and I told him, Coach, you know, I'm used to seeing Alabama at number one, number two, but not in basketball. But that's where we are now. This Alabama team loaded, Auburn really good. You bring in Texas, they should be a pretty good program this year. You know, Kentucky is Kentucky. Calipari now at Arkansas. I feel like I ask this question every year when I talk to people about college basketball over the last 5 or 6 years, but is this the deepest the SEC's been that you can remember?
I have never looked up and down these rosters and been like, wow, like every team is good. Like even the team that finishes last, and I think LSU probably is my pick to finish last right now. Like even they got guys, but Georgia, like they're picked 12th, and people around Georgia would be like, hey, this is the best basketball roster that we've ever had in our program. You know, Ole Miss has had a huge influx of NIL into that program under Chris Beard to try to be able to put together a roster that can compete. You know, Mississippi State's good. Florida's good. Arkansas, I think, is going to be pretty good. Texas A&M, like, I think there's a little bit of like, hey, we know a lot of those faces at Texas A&M, but they have a lot of guys that could really play, and there's a ceiling with that group as one of the oldest teams in the sport that could be pretty good. South Carolina, I took a huge step last year with Lamont Paris. So you go up and down this league. I mean, I didn't even say Missouri, who I think is going to be one of the most improved teams in college basketball as well. Like, there's no way they go 0-19 in SEC play again, especially after what they've done in the portal, getting a Mark Mitchell and getting a Tony Perkins. So I think this is the year that the SEC solidifies itself as the best basketball conference in the country.
30 seconds left. Does the national champion come from the SEC this year?
I have three Tier 1 national title contenders for me entering the season. It's Auburn, it's Alabama, and it's Tennessee. And then there's a boatload of teams, Mississippi State included, in that second tier that could potentially jump up. I think I would have to say, yeah, if I think this is the best conference in the country and I got three teams that I feel really good about, I'll go yes. And you don't make me pick one, because Alabama's great, Auburn's great, Tennessee I think has a ceiling that a lot of people aren't giving them even after Dalton Kinect leaves. I still am buying the Vols this year as a national title contender.
Isaac Trotter, 24/7 Sports. That was great, man. Really appreciate your time, and look forward to talking to you again throughout the season.
Thanks for having me. Anytime.
All right, Thunder and Lightning, we'll be back in just a minute.
No.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
If they call a celebration penalty on this, I'll shoot them.
Welcome back to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for joining me on a Wednesday evening. If you want to join the show, do it on the C Spire text line, 601-879-4. I'm sorry. That's not right. 879-4395. I doubted myself. I shouldn't have done that. Hey, if you're going to be in Vicksburg tomorrow night for Halloween, head over to McRaven for one of the great candlelight tours of a tremendous antebellum mansion here in the state, McRaven. Every 15 minutes, starting at 7 until 9, guests will be guided by candlelight through a darkened McRaven, or in each room there will be a ghost hunt telling you their story firsthand. It's a $25 cost for this, but it'll be really, really cool on Halloween to take a guided candlelight tour of one of the antebellum mansions here in this state. Great stuff from Isaac. I thought that was an outstanding interview. I had never talked to Isaac before. I got a recommendation from my boy John Talty. I just basically texted him last night. I was like, who is the 24/7 version of you for college basketball? And that's who he gave me. We will be keeping Isaac in the rotation. Very high on Mississippi State, you know, and that's something that He and I agree on that. State's underrated for some reason, and I get it. People, we had a text earlier. Somebody asking why is Ole Miss rated ahead of Mississippi State? If you can, and I can make it pretty simple for you there. Chris Beard. Chris Beard is an elite coach, and most of your national media who vote in the polls recognize him as such, and are going to give Ole Miss the benefit of the doubt because they have a great coach. Chris Jans is a very good coach. He may be a great coach. But Chris Beard has coached in the Final Four and has coached in a national championship game. So I get it. I get that. You know, I think both those teams are going to be good this year. They should both be tournament teams. If they're not, that's going to be an issue for both schools. But State, to me, is flying just a touch under the radar when you consider what they brought back and what they were able to add. You know, you have Hubbard, one of the top scorers in college basketball. You have Matthews, a guy who can literally do it all. You add Kanye Clary. State's starting backcourt of Clary and Hubbard this year, last year it would have averaged 34 points per game. Hubbard averaged 17 a game, but whoever the State wanted to pair him with last year averaged around 6 or 7. So that's a big jump. Kugel, as Isaac said, is a huge talent. And then, you know, you're going to lose some offensive production there at the 5, but between Nwoko, Fumena, and Keyshawn Murphy, you should be, as he said, I like the way you put it, the money ball approach there. You know, you kind of rebuild it in the aggregate a little bit. And I also like what State has done with their schedule. And this has been a Chris Jans thing. He plays a pretty difficult non-conference schedule. But the way they set up these neutral site games, State plays 3 neutral site games in the state of Mississippi. So they're not really neutral site games, right? They'll be played in front of majority Mississippi State fan crowds, but they count as neutral site games for your net. So you look at that game with Utah. Utah is probably a game, if you play them at home, it's probably a quad 2, maybe a high quad 3 game. And I know we're doing it already. We're talking about quads already, I know. But playing them on the road, that has the potential to become a quad 1. You play McNeese, who was a tournament team last year, Will Wade's team. Probably a quad 3 at home. It's a quad 2 on the road. So State, by playing these games and possibly winning these games, that's what's gotten State in the position they've been in the last 2 years, is they come into conference play with a really high net. Their net was hurt last year by the Southern game. And again, I've said it before and I'll say it again, that game cost State 2 lines of seeding in the NCAA tournament. I think State was a 9 seed, they would have been a 7. Or if they were the 8 seed, they would have been a 6. That's how much damage that one loss did to them. A quad 4 home loss to a team like that, you can't have that loss on your resume and expect it not to hurt. So State's got to avoid those kind of situations. But the game in Jackson, the game in South Haven, the game in Tupelo are big. And then you have another neutral site tournament in Arizona with UNLV, Northwestern, and Butler are involved. So those should all be quad 2, quad 1 kind of games. You have a road game with SMU. That should be a quad 1, quad 2 game if you can get a win there. You do get to bring Pitt to the hump for the SEC-ACC challenge. That has potential. Pitt's been a tournament team. I think Blake Henson has finally left. I think he's finally out of eligibility and has moved on to the NBA at this point. But you never know. He might pop up. If he finds out there's a game at the hump, he might show up and score 28 again. I really like this team. I like what Jans has done. I like what Jans has put together as far as this program goes. You know, when he arrived at Mississippi State, I thought that, you know, with the portal and everything, that he could get this program back up and running in a couple of years. I did not know that it would be year 1 into the NCAA tournament, and then year 2 the same. I thought last year's team was better, and the results bear that out. And they went from being in the play-in game to being actually in the field of 64. And now it becomes, can they be a second weekend team? The problem with projecting that in October is that the tournament is so dependent on matchups. If you're a good basketball team, you can be a really good top 15, top 20 team. You're a 4 seed. You've only lost 4 or 5 games all year. But let's say your weakness is perimeter defense. If your 13 seed is a team that just shoots a ton of threes, you're in trouble. Or if you're, you know, you play a team that has, like, let's say you're just, you know, you're a little undersized. You've got a great record, but you're just a little undersized. And you play a team that has a dominant big man from a mid-major, you could be in trouble. So it's tough to say with real confidence on October the 30th, yeah, this is a team that should make the second weekend. What I would tell you is this is a team that can make the second weekend. From top to bottom, they have the talent and they have the depth to do that. Will they? Well, time will tell. But I like where this team is. And Isaac's not wrong about the SEC this year. It's so weird looking at the polls and seeing Alabama at 2. It wasn't that long ago that Alabama was a program that did not give a darn about basketball. They just did not. They had some good teams every now and then, but they were all in on football. And that's kind of true about the SEC as a whole. And over the last decade, you've seen the conference become, you know, a juggernaut in basketball to a certain degree. The national titles aren't there, but you feel like those are coming. And, you know, Alabama and Auburn are two of the best programs in the country right now. Tennessee is one of the best programs in the country right now. Arkansas with Calipari, they're not going to go anywhere for sure. Kentucky with Mark Pope, we got to see a little bit, right? I mean, I think they'll be okay. He was good at BYU. He's certainly recruiting well. It's Kentucky, but we'll see. Florida, are they on the come up? I don't know. You know, I don't know. I don't know with Florida. I feel like Florida could be good. They could be bad. I don't know. Georgia, you heard what Isaac had to say. Feels good about their roster. We'll see about Michael White. I've never been really sold on him as a great coach. South Carolina went from being the worst team in the conference to being the best team, or not the best team, but one of the better teams in the conference a season ago. Missouri went from being a really good team to being the worst team in the history of the conference. Can they bounce back? LSU, I don't know. Matt McMahon, when he was hired, you know, you recall when State hired Jans, the top three guys are all in the SEC. Matt McMahon, Chris Jans, and Todd Golden, who ended up at Florida. State ends up with Jans. He's been the best of the bunch thus far. We'll see if that continues to be the case for Mississippi State. Josh Hubbard is such an interesting guy. If you follow basketball recruiting at all, it's fun to read the stories, and every player that State's recruiting, or every player that State gets to visit, mentions Josh Hubbard. Even guys who aren't going to play with Josh Hubbard. State, you're talking about guys who were in the class of 27, they mention Hubbard. When you have a star player, that is something that attracts other stars. You have people who want to play with him in this group and in the next year's signing class as well. And then you have guys who may never play with him, but it becomes, well, I saw what Chris Jans did for Josh Hubbard, and I think he can do the same for me. So he's just been a real boost for Mississippi State. There's no question about that, and it's been a lot of fun to watch. I'm excited to see if he can up his game another level. And not necessarily so much from scoring, because I think State will be more balanced scoring this year. They won't have to put as much of the load onto Hubbard's shoulders. So he may only average 17 a game again. But can he be more effective with his shot? Can he be more of a facilitator at times? I don't know. I'm interested to see how his game elevates itself. Chris Jans was adamant with me a few weeks ago when I talked to him. And if you missed that interview, it's still available on the Thunder and Lightning podcast feed. Go back and find it. It's also available on the Super Talk YouTube channel. But he's not much of a pound the table for his team kind of guy, but he was pounding the table that day for Josh Hubbard. Said he's underrated, said he's one of the best players in the country. One thing you guys may not know about Jans, his teams at New Mexico State shot a ton of threes. They were an offensive-minded team. They got up and down the floor. I think everybody has this image of Jans and the dentist, and he's become like this super defense coach. And yeah, the defense will still be good this year, and that's the effort that Jans is going to demand. But I think this team looks a lot more like his other teams in the past, and they will be a much better offensive team, a much more efficient offensive team. Should be a fun season. Starts Monday, 6:30 p.m., West Georgia in the Humphrey Coliseum, the first game of the 24-25 season. Should be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to covering the Bulldogs all year long. I'll give you a prediction for Mississippi State and UMass, and we got a couple other things to talk about. When we come back, this is Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
last go around here on Thunder and Lightning, Super Talk Mississippi. Rhino and I have almost brought the ship to a complete halt. Looking forward to it. Hey, Saturday, Sunday over at Clear Creek Golf Course, the Ultra Golf Tournament will be going on. It's a two-man scramble and a four-ball tournament. Begins at 8 o'clock over at Clear Creek. It's open to any golfer. So if you want to hit the links this weekend, weather should be nice. Head over to Clear Creek. They're going to have a great tournament going on. And, of course, if you're trying to find out anything going on in the city of Vicksburg, the place to do it is the website, visitvicksburg.com. A couple of some housekeeping items before we wrap up here. If you haven't already, subscribe to the Super Talk YouTube channel for two reasons. Well, for three reasons. One, there's a ton of great content on there. All of our news shows, Rebecca, Sports Talk, this show, it's all right there available to you. All of our podcasts are available to you in audio form on there. But now, Thunder and Lightning is available as video. So if you just really love my face, A, you might want medical attention. But B, it's available to you now on the YouTube channel. At Super Talk's YouTube channel, Thunder and Lightning, the full video will be up there every day, every podcast we put together. So check that out. Also, don't forget, this Saturday after the game ends, Thunder and Lightning postgame will be available to you on the Super Talk YouTube channel. We've had a lot of fun with that this year. You guys have been tuning in, and I enjoy it. It's also put up as a podcast as soon as I can after the game. So Mississippi State, UMass, if you want to get my thoughts after the game, they are available before just about anything else is available to you on our Super Talk YouTube channel. I mean, everybody else is still down at the press conference. I'm up there breaking down and telling you what's happening in the game. Nobody else is giving you coverage as quickly as I am on the Super Talk YouTube channel. Not to toot my own horn or anything. I'm just saying. Toot, toot. Tomorrow's Thunder and Lightning podcast also is basketball. Mississippi State men's and women's basketball. We'll talk about both squads. Can Coach Sam Purcell get his team back into the NCAA tournament as well? So, Robbie, as you know, nobody covers women's basketball in this state better than Robbie Falk of On3 Sports, my friend. And he will have plenty to say about that team and what he thinks of them. But our thoughts on the men's squad as well. A lot going on. It's getting that busy time of year. Football and basketball overlapping. A lot going on. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to being at the hump on Monday night. They announced this past week that season tickets have been sold out, so I'm expecting big crowds. I don't know if you get a big crowd at 6:30 on November the 4th on a Monday, but I know that there's a lot of social media push for a big crowd, and I think it'll be bigger than, you know, I have been to some games at the Hump where there were 1,000 people there. I don't think those days are coming back this year. I feel like Mississippi State's in a good spot. The excitement is surrounding this program is back. I went to college at Mississippi State in the final 4 years. So, I mean, I was there at sort of the peak times for basketball interest. And then I was a season ticket holder for those 2003, 2004, 2005 seasons when State was going, you know, winning the SEC and going to back-to-back NCAA tournaments. And when, you know, going even further back to 2001, I was a season ticket holder. So Mario Austin and Derek Zimmerman going into Timmy Bowers and then to Lawrence Robertson and all those guys. So I remember when basketball was a big deal at Mississippi State. It is a big deal again at Mississippi State, and that's great. That's great to see. So very excited to start the season this weekend. Football season, it just is. Yeah, what did I say? That's the DVD, right? Football season, it is what it is. I mentioned it earlier. When these two teams played in 2016, State, one of the worst defenses in school history, the final score was 47-35. That game was played in Foxborough. It was played on the road. This is at least being played at home. State's an 18.5-point favorite, I think. I would take UMass and take those points all day long. State will win. Fingers crossed. State will win, but I think they're not going to cover. I think State puts up a ton of points. I think Van Buren has a monster game. I think he'll spread the ball around. I think State will maybe do some things in the run game. I think Booth has had back-to-back pretty good games. Was really good last week. I think 80 yards rushing and had a 55-yard touchdown catch. So he was really good. Could see that happening again. But I just don't have any faith in this defense to get stops. It's just as simple as that. So I think State will just get more points on the board. So I'm going to say 42-28, something like that. That's where I'm going. That would be a cover for UMass if I was going to bet, I would take UMass and take the points. So I hate to say it. I don't like being that way, but it is what it is. Next week, Thunder and Lightning. We'll be talking MSU Tennessee, and we'll be talking some MSU basketball, and who knows what else we'll have for you by the time we get there. Again, Thunder and Lightning podcast, available wherever you get podcasts, plus available on the Super Talk YouTube channel, where you can watch my smiling face. It's like an hour today, so, you know, hopefully I'll put a smile on your face as well. Until next week, guys, for Brian O'Donnell in Studio X, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.